Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. On the Abolition of All Political Parties is a brief political philosophical essay by Simone Weil. Presented in the NYRB Classics edition with supplementary essays by Czeslaw Milos and translator Simon Lays. Written in 1943 during the final year of Weil's life, it is not a conventional treatise on government or electoral reform. Instead, it offers a direct critique of political parties as institutions that distort judgment, reward loyalty over truth, and convert public life into a struggle for power. Weil's central claim is that parties are structurally opposed to the common good because they compel members to align with a collective position rather than think independently. The book is small in length but unusually sharp in scope, combining moral seriousness with political analysis. It remains influential because it addresses concerns that still shape modern democracies, including polarization, propaganda, and the difficulty of preserving conscience within organized politics. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why political parties are seen as hostile to truth and the common good. Weil argues that political parties are not neutral tools for organizing civic life, but institutions with an internal bias toward their own survival and expansion. In her view, a party cannot genuinely seek truth or justice because its first obligation is to remain a party, win support, and preserve collective strength. That creates a built-in conflict between public interest and organizational interest. Even when a party claims to serve the common good, Weil suggests that its structure encourages selective reasoning, tactical messaging, and compromise with falsehood. This is why her critique is more radical than a complaint about bad politicians. She targets the system itself, claiming that the party form reliably pushes public life away from honest judgment and toward factional competition. The result is a politics where the language of justice is often used, but the pursuit of power quietly dominates the actual behavior of participants. Secondly, how party membership weakens individual conscience and independent thought. A major theme of the essay is the way parties reshape the inner life of their members. Weil is especially concerned with the moment when a person joins a party before fully understanding what it stands for. Once inside, loyalty becomes a habit of mind, and the member is pressured to accept positions as part of belonging. This weakens the capacity for free judgment because thought is no longer directed first toward what is true or just, but toward what is acceptable to the group. Weil treats this as a moral problem, not only an intellectual one. She believes that conscience requires distance, attention, and the willingness to resist collective pressure. Parties, by contrast, train people to identify with a side and to interpret facts through that side's interests. Her argument helps explain why political disagreement can become personal, emotionally charged, and resistant to revision once identity is attached to affiliation. Thirdly, collective passion replaces reasoned deliberation in democratic life. Weil's critique is closely tied to her concern that politics has become driven by passion rather than reflection. She thinks parties intensify this trend because they simplify complex issues into oppositions that are easier to feel than to analyze. Instead of careful deliberation about what policy is right, citizens are encouraged to choose a camp and defend it. This produces a form of collective passion that can imitate conviction without requiring real understanding. In the essay, reason is not merely an abstract ideal. It is the practical condition for just political action. Weil insists that judgments about public affairs should arise from thoughtful examination of facts and principles, not from the adrenaline of conflict. By turning politics into a contest of factions, parties make such reflection harder. Her point remains relevant in any context where slogans, media pressure, and team-based loyalty crowd out slow and serious discussion about public problems. Fourthly, Rousseau, the general will and Weil's ideal of authentic public judgment. Weil draws on Rousseau's idea of the general will to clarify what politics should aim at when it is functioning properly. The key insight she borrows is that legitimate collective judgment depends on individuals first thinking for themselves and then allowing a shared truth to emerge from serious reflection. She rejects any version of public opinion that is merely aggregation, mobilization, or factional arithmetic. For Weil, the general will is corrupted when people do not begin from independent conscience, but instead submit to organized group pressure. In that sense, political parties do not help form the general will. They deform it by converting shared life into organized passion. This is one reason her essay is so philosophically important. It does not simply denounce institutions. It asks what kind of mental and moral discipline is needed for democracy to be real. Her answer is demanding citizens must be capable of solitary judgment before they can participate honestly in collective life. Lastly, a radical proposal that works best as a critique of modern polarization, the essay is famously extreme in proposing the abolition of all political parties. And that radicalism is part of its force. Weil is not offering a procedural reform plan or an electoral strategy. She is issuing a moral diagnosis of political corruption and using abolition as a way to expose how deeply party logic has shaped public life. Many readers may find the proposal impractical, especially in established representative systems. Yet the value of the book lies precisely in that severity. It forces readers to reconsider assumptions that are often treated as natural, such as the idea that party competition is necessary for democracy. The short length and clear prose make the book accessible, but its implications are challenging. It is especially useful for readers interested in political philosophy, civic ethics, and the dynamics of polarization. Its enduring distinctiveness comes from refusing moderation in its criticism. Well does not ask how to make parties slightly better, but whether the party form itself is compatible with justice. In conclusion, this book should be read by anyone interested in political philosophy, democratic theory, civic ethics, or the pressures that partisan systems place on judgment. It is especially valuable for readers trying to understand why modern politics so often rewards loyalty, simplification, and conflict instead of truth-seeking and public responsibility. Well offers not a technical reform proposal, but a severe diagnostic lens, making the book useful for reflection even when readers do not agree with her conclusion. Its practical benefit is that it sharpens awareness of how group allegiance can distort evidence, conscience, and public reasoning. Its intellectual benefit is that it connects political structure with moral psychology in a compact, memorable way. Compared with other books on polarization or democracy, it stands out for its brevity, clarity, and uncompromising argument. Rather than describing partisan dysfunction as a temporary problem, Whale treats it as a structural flaw built into the party form itself. That makes the essay unusually forceful, memorable, and still difficult to dismiss. If you would like to support Simone Weil, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.